Psalm 29, verse 9. Praise the Lord. When the Spirit gets to moving, looking at the gifts of the Spirit in Christian meetings. And the voice of the Lord makes the inner cave and discovers the forest, and in his temple does everyone speak his glory. Actually, does everyone say glory. And this is one of those prophecies of the Old Testament that relates with Jesus or Christ or the resurrection. In his temple doth everyone, sounds like everyone. And this is a prophecy, because whenever you use everyone, that's a prophecy about the true temple of God. Because the true temple of God is not a building. The true temple of God is in man. That's the true temple of God. The true temple of God is not a building. The true temple of God is amongst men, or better still, in men. Now in John's Gospel, chapter 2, we were there last week, Jesus got into the temple. You know, there were two things that happened. I liked that last week. He went for a wedding. Someone say a wedding. So Jesus went for a wedding. He wasn't going there to preach. Someone say, hey. So I was not wrong yesterday after the prayer meeting. How about that for a word of knowledge? Okay. So he goes to the wedding. And then they said the wine was finished. And as typical as it was with Jesus, where he used present circumstances to explain his resurrection, where they said, there is no wine. The truth is, there was no wine in humanity. Because wine is a figure of speech of the blood of Jesus in his resurrection. So as they said, there is no wine, his response was in John 2, verse 3 and 4, he says, woman, why are you bothering me? What does that have to do with you? My hour is not yet come. And when he said that, again, he speaks of his resurrection. Go to Matthew's Gospel 26 very briefly, and then Luke 22. Matthew's Gospel 26, where he, in verse 28. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for the remission of many. Remember, what he did was that he gave them the cup that was full of wine. And then he says, take, this is my blood. In other words, the wine was a figure of speech for his blood in his resurrection. Take, this is my blood, he says, which is shed for remission for many, for remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will drink it henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. That's his hour. The kingdom hour. Praise the Lord. So, when he mentions his wine in John 2, and says, my hour hasn't come. The hour, oftentimes when he says my hour, that is in his death, burial, and resurrection. In Luke 22, one more. Luke 22. Here again, we'll read verse 18 or so. Yeah. I say unto you, I will drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. So when she said there's no wine, now water is figurative of humanity, man. Right? The water. So he says, turn the water to wine. In other words, he's talking about eternal life. That's the way he interpreted what she said. Oftentimes, when people talk about a need, Jesus tells us what the real need is. A man is sick, Jesus heals him, and he says, I am the light of the world. He's a blind man. He says, I'm the light of the world. He says, if you follow me, you'll walk in darkness. Or he says, I'm the light of the world. As long as I'm in the world, you walk in the light. You wonder, that has nothing to do with sin. Praise the Lord. You know, he says that often. A man is sick. He says, your sins are forgiven you. You wonder? No, I have a backache. No, says your sins are forgiven you, which means because healing is a figure of speech for reconciliation and forgiveness. So he often taught that way. So here again, he speaks of the wine. Of course, he turns the water to wine, okay? But he was speaking of a greater wine. Just like when he turned, when he multiplied bread, and he says, I am the bread. So same way, I am the light. Same way, I am the wine, the new wine. New wine in old wineskins, new wine in new wineskins. You know, those are figurative expressions of Jesus talking about his resurrection. Now, in this instance in John 2, he goes into the temple and then he finds them selling and buying. Then he tells them in verse, of course he takes out a scourge, you know, but he doesn't use it on the man. He uses it on the objects. You check that construction properly. In verse 16, say, take these ends, make not my father's house an house of merchandise. You'll have asked him, does it look like your family house? That should have been your question. Does this look like something your grandfather built? Is this Joseph's family house? But again, he's not talking about that temple. He's referring to a greater place, a greater temple, a greater house where God really and actually dwells. And that's why he said to them in verse 19, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. So when we talk about the temple, in other words, that means the temple he referred to in verse 16 was himself. Destroy this temple, after 3 days, I'll raise it again. When they were going to lie against him, they said he said he would destroy the temple. You know, people are very interested. He never said so. He said, you destroy this temple, because that's what they're going to do. Then he says, after 3 days, I'll raise it again. Even his own disciples were confused on what was talking about, until he rose from the dead, then they remembered what he said. In verse 21 and 22, that he was referring to his body. Notice something they said in 22. Let's pay very good attention in here. Book people, listen. Alright? Book people, listen to this now. In 22. When he therefore was risen from the dead, the disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed what? They believed what? Okay, what's the scripture? The Old Testament. In other words, the temple of the Old Testament is the body of Jesus. I told you, to understand the Old Testament, you have to have faith in Christ. So you know that's the temple, that's the wine. This is the temple. So they actually now could see that the temple spoken of in the Old Testament all the while was Christ's body. They now believe the scripture. They now believe the prophet. Oh, so when David said, in his temple, that everyone, in his temple, that everyone, obviously, this is what they meant. My house can be a place where you do trade and barter. In his temple, they say glory. Hallelujah. That's what they're doing there. In his temple, in his body. Praise the Lord. Can we put in the body of Christ? Psalm 29 verse. Can we say in the body of Christ? Huh? Can we say in the church of Christ? Very good. So he says they all say glory. In other words, something else he did. Look at verse 16. My father's house won't be a house of merchandise. Now merchandise in the original language is to go in and out doing different transactions. You know, you come in and then you do things. Sometimes I go to some church meetings and I'm wondering, what's going on here? What's going on here? I've been to a service before and they were doing Miss Esther. And they were asking Christians to come and parade. Anyway, you know, parade. I hope I'm getting it right. I think it's old school. And then, So I left the service with a friend. I said, they ought to have changed the billboard. Put something else apart from church. That's not church. You don't come do that in church. Now, is it wrong to go for where they have fashion parade? No. Nothing is wrong except where it is done. There's no wrong in that. You know, there's no wrong in that. You know, but the point is, that's not the house of God. So the moment we come together and we change the purpose from His glory to what we want, that meeting changes the name from the church or from the temple to our church, our temple. Of course, what we're doing. So it is a house of merchandise. In fact, in the Mark example, go to Mark 11. Or something more precise. In Mark 11 and verse 17. Same story. It says, is it not written, my house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer? But you have made it a den of thieves. Now, again, he's speaking figuratively. He's saying, you have robbed my house of its purpose. Okay? Because they weren't stealing. They were making money. They were selling money changers. They were, you know, say, hey, how much is it cost? And all that. Oh, and all that. And sometimes, some services are like that. If you want God to touch your business now, you want to move to the next level. Oh, that's a Nigerian phrase. All right, come on. You want to move to another level in your life. The Lord is saying now that you have to take the step of faith. And then the guy says, you bring all your money. Because some guys say that when God sees money, he loses control. 1 million. 5 million. A man even said one time that he gave the Lord 1 million. God said, what is that for? God told him that. He said, sorry, Lord. He said, is that what you give to your governors and highly high net worth individuals? He said, no, Lord. He said, but I have 5 million. God said, that's my ball. What is the guy said? Then I'm saying, is he joking? So when he sees money, God just says, my son, who have I forsaken you? Sorry, one more piece. That's a bit too true. Amen. So money changers and seats of them that sold doves. In 15, and he overthrew it and cast them out. Then the 17, is it not written that my house shall be called of what? All nations. That's interesting. Because the Jewish temple was only for the Jew. My house shall be called of all nations. That is the body of Christ. A house of what? Prayer. A house of prayer. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. A house of prayer. So we know what the church is not for. The body of Christ is not for merchandise. There's nothing wrong in merchandise. There shouldn't be anything wrong in merchandise, because merchandise is how you merchandise and have money in your pocket. Okay? But the house of God is not for that. Is for prayer and petition. If you don't know what they do in the church, you should know at least it's a place of prayer. A place where we pray. And the word he uses here is petitions. And every time you mention petitions, you also have giving of thanks. And what does he do? Watch what he did. In verse 17, he taught. In verse 18, they were astonished at his teaching. So, obviously, pay attention to something I'm about to show you. Obviously, Jesus, after this scenario, he began to teach. He's teaching. So, the church is a place where we pray, we praise. And also where the word of God is taught. Now the word of God about Christ is taught. So when you hear in his temple, the first thing that comes to your mind is the body of Christ. Don't say the body of Christ. Say again, the body of Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God? Turn in there, please. 1 Corinthians 3:16. You are the temple of God, and His Spirit dwells there. So we will say, the temple of God is where His Spirit dwells. The temple of God is not a building. The temple of God is where His Spirit what? Dwells. Anybody like that? Anyone like that? Raise your hand if you're like that. Praise God. Where His Spirit dwells. How do you know His Spirit dwells in you? If you believe the gospel, His Spirit dwells in you. You don't have to feel. Someone one time said, "Sir, I don't feel the Holy Ghost. I want to feel the Holy Ghost." So I looked at him and I said, "Do you feel like a human being? Do you feel human?" He said, "He doesn't. He just know you're a human." Exactly. He just know you have the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Stop waiting to feel. Start acting on the word. Praise God. What about saying I'm the temple of God? Say that early in the morning. Say that in the afternoon. Say that often. You start feeling, you start doing. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. You start doing. So the house, the church, the body of Christ. Why is it called the body of Christ? Because the Spirit of God dwells in us. So, go to Matthew 16. We're going to look at two texts of scripture. Matthew 16. Hallelujah. So, let's quickly say something. Go to Matthew 16 from verse 17. But hold on, let's say some things. We just said that means the house of God is not a place for what? Merchandise. Let's put it like this. It's not a place to celebrate human activities and human accomplishments. You don't say, but is it not the church? Yeah. The reason for the church is to glorify Christ. I told the pastor this years back, and he got offended. But I didn't mind. He went on the pulpit to be explaining to people how to buy shares and network marketing. Very beautiful speech, no doubt. And I told him, I said, you mean God gave you His Spirit to do what a spirit doesn't need to do? Or let me say it like the way I said it. God gave you His Spirit to do what an unsaved man would do better than you. God can give you His Spirit so that you will come on and tell us how to do network marketing. There are far better unbelievers that do it far better than you and the Spirit that did it with you. Far better unbelievers. You've got to stick to the purpose. God didn't give you His Spirit to carry out your own desires. God didn't give you His Spirit to carry out the church desires. He gave you His Spirit to carry out His own desires. Praise the Lord. You there? So, it's not a house of merchandise. It's a house of prayer, right? Right? And the teaching of Christ, correct? Well, come on now. Look at Matthew 16. Alright, look at this. It says in verse 17, "Blessed are some of you, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto you, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," now when you hear this rock, quickly let me tell you, you know, the word rock is an Old Testament figure of speech. The Lord is our rock, He's our salvation. When Moses in Exodus 33 said, the Lord said, I will hide you in the cleft of the rock of my salvation. The rock speaks about the resurrection. Because the Jews saw a rock as immovable on one spot that is forever. So the word rock is figurative of the resurrection of Jesus. So when it said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. In other words, upon the resurrection, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall prevail against it. Then he says, look, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bound in earth, bound in heaven, wherever you lose in earth, lose in heaven. So he talks about the church from the resurrection. In other words, every one of us who is saved, just like Paul taught, We are raised from death to life, from spiritual death to life. We're raised from the doldrums of sin, where we're buried in all righteousness, to life in Christ. Can you say amen? Amen. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. So he talks about the church from his resurrection. Then in chapter 18, he says in verse 15, if your brother offends you, trespass against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he shall hear, thou hast gained thy brother. If he will not hear you, take with you two or more, we'll come back to this later, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, every word be established. If he neglects to hear them, tell it to the church. Now the word church there is ecclesia. I'll talk about that in a moment. And if he neglects to hear the ecclesia, that is the assembly, let it be unto you as an heathen man and a publican. Now hold on. The word assembly there is a Jewish word. In other words, the coming together in the synagogue. Now the Jews use the word church for two things. One, for the entire nation of Israel when they left Egypt. The entire nation of Israel when they left Egypt. What you call the Exodus. So the church is primarily used for those who are saved. Are you there? Those who are delivered from the world. You are called out from darkness to light. You are called down from sin to righteousness. Called up from Satan to God. You know, that and that. You're called out from walks to grace. From the flesh to the spirit. So that is the church. Anybody called out like that? Do I have anybody here? Come on. You're called out from darkness to light. Come on. Raise your hand. Come on. From the world to Christ. Praise the Lord. So, by that action, you are where? In the church. Now, the Jews also use the same statement for when they now gather together. So, their gathering together is to demonstrate the call of God from darkness to light, or from Egypt to Canaan, to all of them figure of speech. So, when he said, I will build my church in Matthew 16, that's the Exodus from the resurrection. From salvation, from redemption, I will build my church. Now the second instance here will be when those who I have built, who have called out, now come to a place. So he uses the word church or the word assembly the way they used it in the Old Testament. Primarily, call from darkness to light. Then secondarily, call to gather together. Let me see if you understand that. So, those are the two uses of the word church. That's why we say often, and we have a book on that, an assembly required. If you are called from darkness to light, then you must also participate in the assembly of the saints. You must participate in the assembly of the saints. Let me mention this quickly before we get to it as well. The church is not a mall where you go, you know, a shopping mall, you just get in there, pump. Like ShopRite. Like that's ShopRite is everybody's place. Everybody goes in there. You don't know what they are. Some go there to take selfie. Some go there to just see what they're doing in there. Some go to buy. So different people go in there. You just go, do I like it? I don't like it. I like this one. I don't like that one. You know, that's a mall where you make choices. And you say, what do I want to do here today? Maybe I should watch a movie. You know, stuff like that. The church is not a mall. The church is an assembly. You are part of that assembly. You are not visiting. Neither are you, what do you call this? Is it window shopping? No. You are also not here, like Rehab Bunky will say, you are a salmon taster. Some guys are salmon tasters. Let me see what they are preaching there. Young man is making sense. Young man is making some sense, you know. I think so. There was a service I attended. I preached years back. 96, I think. And it was an Orthodox church. So it was a 3-day meeting. So by the first day, the whole place was an estate. The whole place was about that meeting. So the folks who came, who were young people actually, they wanted to bring their parents. And some came to be blessed. Some just came to watch. What is it that is exciting all these boys and girls? You know, they came with Charles preaching about tongues, speaking in tongues. And so one man now said, "Hello, young evangelist." That's how he said it. Now, I'm used to such things. You know, I grew up hearing things like, "Are you the one that is claiming God has called you?" I've heard this. I'll say, "I didn't claim." You know, they might say, "Hello, young evangelist." I said, "Sir, this is your speaking in tongues business." You know, that's discouraging. If we don't speak in tongues, will you go to heaven? Will you go to heaven? And that's the kind of question. Somehow that they had a calmness. Because I wasn't as calm. And I said, "What kind of question is that? Are you here to be blessed? Or to cause confusion?" But somehow I didn't say all that nonsense. I just said, "Sir, were you around in..." It was 1995. I said, "Were you around 1979, 83? He said, "Yes, oh yes. I mean, you knew about the free education." "Yeah, oh yes. Bola was in..." He was just telling me how his children were in different schools. I said, "Thank you, sir. You remember there were free books?" "Oh yes, in fact, I don't know what I did it very well then, you know." He was just responding. I said, "Imagine if your son came back from home, not from school, and says, 'Daddy, I didn't collect the books.' After all, it doesn't mean I'm not a student." And I said, "How will you feel?" "I'll feel, ah! Of course I'll be angry." I said, "That's how God is feeling right now." You know. The man came out and get his spoken tongues. And when he was leaving, he said, "Thank you, Pastor, not young evangelist." Hallelujah. Really? So don't come. It's an assembly. Praise God. You're a sermon taster. Some people will come to the service and look at, "I like the way the choir, I like the ushers. The only thing missing is that they didn't give us snacks. I like him. A lot of young people, I can see, very excited. It's good to know the Lord at this stage. Is that why you came?" It's an assembly. Hallelujah. And you're one of the assembly. You're part of the assembly. In other words, we make up what happens in the assembly. If things don't happen in the assembly as it ought to, it's not the Lord, it's the assembly. Remember, he said, "My house shall be called a house of prayer, but you have made it." So we choose whether to obey God in his house or obey ourselves. You have made it. Hallelujah. So here we are. The truth is, much of what we do in the church is what we get. If we do the word, we'll see the word. So we are the assembly of saints. Say, "We are the assembly." Say, "We are the assembly." Say, "I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. And we assemble together in the Holy Ghost." You know, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. If you come in here as a Yoruba man, or as an Igbo man, as an Hausa man, if you come in here as a young man, as an old man, you come in here as a rich man, as "I don't have money, I'm looking for somebody to support my business." And that's why you came. If you came in here as a friend or someone, or you came in here to look for wife or wives, you came in here, you know, you have simply betrayed the reason for the assembly. You've done that. You've done that. Because the prophecy says, in his temple, a few of them, most of them, everyone. Someone say everyone. Now, is there anyone here who is part of everyone in the temple? Let me see your hand. Come on. So say I. Say glory in his house. I am his house. I say glory. Hallelujah. You're his house. You are his house. You are his house. Praise God. Everyone. Because Jesus said, I will build my church. That's the body of Christ. So we all make up the church. We all make up the church. I will build my church. So, it's a house of prayer. It's a house of praise. It's a house of the word. So, when we come together, we come together to demonstrate God's call upon our lives. He has called us from darkness to light. From the world into Christ. From the flesh to the spirit. We don't use his house for politics. We don't use his house for business transactions. We don't use his house for cultural things. No, we don't. We don't use his house to show our nationality. We only have one nationality, and that is in the spirit. We use his house for why he built his house. How many of you love someone to come to your sitting room or your living room and then say, why is this TV here? No, TV ought to be there. No, that chair should not be there. You put it there. No, remove the rug. Pull it up. You say, Oga, whatever you took is strong. Very strong. And it's stronger than you. No! No way! No! A living room should not be like, and it runs into your bedroom. No. What is this? No! You better call the cops. The police. It's your house. It's his house. This is his house. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's his house. You say, but then, it's his house. He said, it cannot be a house of merchandise. It's a house of his glory. A house of his spirit. A house of his power. A house of the gospel. A house of prayer for all nations. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 11. Still there? 1 Corinthians 11. And verse 17. Now in this, can we take it together? Let's go. Now in this, everybody, I'll wait for you. Let's go. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together, not for the better. In other words, when we come together, it should be for what? The better. So, church services, as we say, are meant to improve our Christian walk. Or, in Paul's emphasis, they are meant to edify you. Not for the worse. Now, if you look at what he was saying in context, it now became a show of wealth. Those who had money, now were showing those who didn't have money that they had money. Paul says, that's not the reason for the ecclesia. The reason for the ecclesia is for all of us to be one. But those who had were shaming those who didn't have. The Bible says, that's for the worse. That's in the context of what he meant. When you come together. Which is the church. So in 1 Corinthians, let's read a few. 1 Corinthians 5 and 4. Okay, 1 Corinthians 1:11. Let's see first. Let's start from 10. Verse 10. I want us to read it together. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Let's go. Now, I beseech you. Okay, let's stop and say a few things. So, the first thing is, you are in the church. Right? Why are you in the church? Huh? Why are you in the church? No, no, no. Not in the assembly. Okay, let's say you are in the body of Christ. Why are you in the body of Christ? Because you have come out of the world. Alright? You've come out of your culture. You've come out of your nation. You've come out of flesh into the spirit. Very good. You are a saint of God. You want to give me more? Come on, this guy, come on, teach. You want to give me more? So, you are in Christ. Okay? That's why you are in the body of Christ. Very good. And that is the temple of God. So you are the house of God's Spirit. Good. That means the reason why you are in the church is why He is in the church. Both of you are the temple of God. And you are one and the same. Right? So, whether you are Thief or you are a Bibio, you are now in Christ. Right? You are the same. So, that means in the spirit, we are all the same. Praise God. Just like saying we have the same blood. So we have the same spirit. Now, look at verse 10. Let's take it together. Let's go. Now, okay, before I say that, that means every one of us, we are one in the spirit. In Christ, right? Come on. Good. So, look at verse 10. Now I beseech you, brethren, let's take it together. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same... Now, this is in the assembly. Right? That is, demonstrate your oneness. You know, whether you are one with other believers or not, you are already one. Because you are both born again, or you are all born again, you are already one. Now he says, demonstrate that oneness. Or let's put it like this, act on the word. Walk in the spirit. So, look at verse 11. Let's take verse 11 together. For it hath been declared, everybody let's go, come on. For it hath been declared unto me, of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions. Now, the among you, is it in the spirit or in the assembly? Now, that means the assembly is at cross purposes with the church. That is, we're already in the church. We're already one in the church. We're already one in Christ in the church. But when we come together, we now depart from who we are. That's what he's saying here. You are now departing from who you are. There are divisions among you. In other words, the assembly ought to replicate the body of Christ. The assembly ought to mirror our oneness as the body of Christ. Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 4. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, our gathering ought to be in whose name? Huh? The name of Jesus. Now, when you say the name of Jesus, you mean in the authority of Jesus. We're not to gather as our ethnic group. We're not to gather as a business association. We're not to gather as any other thing, but in His name. In His person. In His walk. In His spirit. Look at chapter 11. That you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. So, which means, now let me ask you a question. Who determines what happens when we come together? God or us? Alright? That means we can choose to have church, and we can choose to have our church. Let me see if you understand what I just said now. We can choose to have Christ Church. We can choose to have our own church. when we are having tussles with brethren is at Christ's church or our church. When we are having divisions amongst us is at Christ's church or our church. When we act like we're superior to others is at Christ's church or our church. But when we flow in one accord and we are all doing one and the same thing, whose church is that? Let me see if you understand that. That's Christ's church. Because in his temple does everyone say glory. Everyone. So here we are. We said the temple. The church is not for merchandise. The church is not for human interactions and then division. The church is the temple of his spirit. And because of that, we give attention to his spirit. One more thing, and that's what we're zeroing this morning. The temple is also an assembly for supernatural utterance. Look at that, Psalm 29 verse 9. In his temple doth everyone praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Doth everyone. Everyone. Doth everyone. So we cause a division when we say it can't be everyone. About 21 years ago, I traveled to Southern Africa to preach. And then I went to this particular denomination. You know this story over and over again. But I like to say it because it's so real. And there was this large cathedral with a large number of people. So I came in there to preach. I was supposed to preach for two nights. So the very first night, as I started preaching, I just noticed that they were quite cold. Not that they were feeling cold though. They were just looking. And you know, I'm not such an excited preacher. So it's not like I was saying, and they were not saying, tell me. It was just a way you knew, like Brother Hagin would say, that was as though you were throwing something at the wall, was bouncing back at you. But I just observed that before I preached, the elders of the church, I usually call them 24 elders. I didn't know their number. So I think they were either 12 or 24, but they were a figurative number. They would now stand on the podium and then speak in tongues. It was later on that I now thought through what they just did. I didn't observe very well initially. I told my friend Matthew, I said, did you observe what they just did? He said, yes. Those guys who speak in tongues and the church would say, amen, amen. I didn't understand it. So I now walked up to the bishop of the church, the pastor. I said, sir, what do you believe about speaking in tongues? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Ah, yes, sir. He said, well, you know, he now told me the process, how they get to speak in tongues in the church. When he was done with that process, the day of Pentecost would have taken place 5 years after. Or maybe 7 years after. So they'll go through second work of grace. And I know that doctrine because I happen to belong at some point to a denomination that believed in that. Even though I was already speaking in tongues before I heard that doctrine. So I kept my tongues in my pocket. I'll speak my tongues and they are not there. And I know, keep your sanctification story. So he said, no, they'll go through this class, then they'll go for water baptism, then they'll now purify themselves for the Holy Ghost. Naturally, I would have said, what nonsense is that? But there's some moments like that, the Holy Ghost just took over. So I said, that's great. I wasn't lying. I didn't say what was great. Could have been great ignorance, great unbelief, whatever, great. So by the evening I came back, and now, like the second day, to preach. And I was very, very radical in my dressing that day. I wore some very rascally things just to be very naughty, you know. I won't do that today. So I walked into the service. The man looked at me. What was this guy trying to do? Probably he thought I was going to create a scene, you know. So I began to preach. I began to preach about Jesus, the one who saves, who fills with the Holy Ghost and heals, the same. I showed them from Scripture that speaking with tongues and the baptism of the Holy Ghost was for every believer. Now, of course, I prayed. In fact, that day I chose to fast and pray because the strong ghosts in that place, they were very strong. As I began to preach, you could see the light bulbs came up. Boom! You know, when you go to the same scripture people read, and they read it again, say it, look at it again, and they go. So I said, if you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost, and I backed the pastor and his elders, because if you look at them, they'll discourage you, they'll look at you. Because they had created a division in the church. In his temple, God, everyone. The moment you say some of us, you have created what? A division. There was strife in the house. So as I called them out, you want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? I didn't make the mistake of saying, join us. Join us to do what? I backed them, bro. So I called the guy. They came in there hungry. They must have looked at me that, can he lay hands on all of them? Me. If you are 1,000, 2,000, I will lay hands on everybody. So I called my friend, Matthew. We began to lay hands and laid hands and laid hands. The way those guys spoke in tongues, you will see anger. Some of them now, as they spoke in tongues, they went close to the bishop. I knew I wasn't going back there again. What did we do? We stopped division in the church. Took away the strife. So, when you come to a church, you flow with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the Spirit of God is in us. Glory to God. Are you there? So, it was the pastor who created the strife with his doctrine. Dear friend of mine, we used to call him Pope. Suji Ogole used to say that. He said, it's not. He said, those who create strife are those who teach wrong doctrine. I totally agree with that. Those who create strife teach the wrong doctrine. To teach believers that they have to sanctify themselves to have Holy Spirit is not a wrong doctrine. It's a terrible doctrine. Because the sanctifier is the Holy Ghost. Remember one time, I saw one tract written by a denomination or university then. And then they said, to come to Christ, forsake this, you forsook everything. Forsake this one, forsake that one. And they said, if you used to have, used to drink, forsake your drinking. If you used to eat, forsake your eating. If you used to do this one, forsake it, then come to Christ. So I asked the guy who was the president of that fellowship, I said, what a tract you have here. Oh yeah, I said, for evangelism. I said, nobody will be born again with this tract. Eh? I said, if you're a medical doctor, and somebody tells you, comes to your consulting room, and say, well, last week I had headache, stomachache, backache. But I'm coming because they have all gone. So I came to see you. You will get him a psychiatrist. He said, yes. He said, that's exactly what this tract means. He said, come all ye that heavy lady. He didn't say, come ye that put down your heavy lady. I will give you rest. So I said, what you have in here is trash, man. The guy looked at me. He said, God will have mercy on you. I said, it's you that you need the mercy. Of course, I won't do that again today. Alright, where are we? 1 Corinthians 14. Say, I'm in the church. Say, I'm in the church. And I cause no strife. I cause no divisions. I am in one accord with the purpose of the head of the church. I stay in union with the body of Christ. In this meeting, this morning, there are no divisions. We are all in one accord. flowing and following the purpose of Jesus. Glory to God. 1 Corinthians 14:26, are you there? Let's go. How is it then, brethren? Are you there? How is it then, brethren? Let's go. When you and every have what? What else? What else? Let all things be done. Is this Psalm 29 verse 9? Is this Psalm 29 verse 9? Everyone, praise God. Whether you got born again last night, everyone. Whether you just got born again today, everyone. As long as you are in the body of Christ, God by His Spirit has given you what to say. See, I have what to say. By the Spirit of God, I have what to say. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Remember one time we had this meeting, and this lady, she wasn't literate, as it were, and she had never spoken in tongues. It was a CAC church in Ugomosho, 1995. She had never spoken in tongues. So we got her to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Was a vigil. And so she came out, she spoke in tongues. She was the first to speak in tongues. Only the pastor spoke in tongues, actually. Same congregation, kind of congregation. So she spoke in tongues. Then my friend said, go on, there's more. My friend tapped and said, go on, there's more. Then she gave a word of knowledge by interpreting her tongue. Said, go on, go on. She called two people out and laid hands on the sick. Those were the first times. First, she gave a word of knowledge. Then she went further and gave other people words of knowledge. That means she said things about their lives that no one knew but God. And that was the first time. In other words, God is as eager to flow in you to bless others today like He was the first day you got born again. From the day you got saved. Praise the Lord. I'll share something next week about this. Why? So then why have I not been functioning like I should? There is strife in your mind. Something else is going on in the house of God, which is your body, aside the flow of the Spirit of God. Because see, if you have things in your mind, because the strife can be in the assembly, also can deal with you. If you have things going on in your mind in the service, your mind is elsewhere, not in the church, then there's strife going on in the house of God. If you have merchandise going on in your mind, other things are encroaching your mind and your heart, I'll talk about this next week, then there's strife already where, even in the house of God. Because the house of God is primarily you, then the assembly. So if other things are in your mind, then there's already strife. Strife means division. That means you came into the house not to flow with the Spirit of God, not to be a blessing to others. So there's already strife. But if you correct that, just correct it. And say, you know what? I'm going to meet someone's need this morning. God wants to bless the world through me. That means you are aligning your mind with who you are. You're dealing with strife. Talk about that next week. When you come together, everybody, whether you're a day old in Christ or a year old in Christ, everybody has something to do. Look at the book of Acts. So, can we also say the house of God is a house of utterance? Come on. Supernatural utterance. Say, this house, don't touch your body. Say, this house is a house of utterance. I give room for supernatural utterances to say things by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Now, the very first time that I prophesied and I gave a word of knowledge, I did not know that was what I was doing. We're walking on the road. late 1990. I think it was early 91. I didn't know. Now, I had been ministering to the sick. I lay hands on the sick. Some will recover and some will get sick more. I can tell you more stories about that. So I knew that. But I just didn't have the boldness to say, thus saith the Lord. Eh? The what? They had the boldness to say things. I didn't even bother to know what it was about. So I was walking on the road and we're praying a lot in tongues that day. A lot in tongues. A lot, myself and my friend, Femi Olubadjoe, we call him Apostle. We're praying a lot in tongues. A lot in tongues. So I just spoke out. Then he said, you know, he used to be our caretaker in there. So here you come. Then he held me like this. We're classmates too. He said, you know, you're trying now. That was a word of knowledge. I said, hey, what's that? He said, you just spoke by the Spirit of God. And what you said was happening about me actually yesterday. So I said, oh, hallelujah. You have your seat. I didn't even know that was what I just did. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because there's no believer that cannot speak by the Holy Ghost. There's no believer. There's none. On the day of Pentecost, there were new converts. And I told you last week, they had barely 1 week after Jesus ascended. Barely 1 week. Because he spent 40 days with them. Okay? And day of Pentecost is the 49th day. Barely 1 week. Hallelujah. Acts 2, verse 1 to 4. Now when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all in one place, in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. So I say, everybody, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Everyone. Everyone. Say, in this house, everyone is filled with the Holy Ghost, and we speak by the Holy Ghost. Is that possible? Is that God's will? Come on, talk to me. Is that God's will? God's will is not for the pastor to come, just like that church in Zimbabwe, and come and say, amen. You see, Christians, they will gather together. Christians, all their meetings, they're always coming to meet the man of God. The man of God, like Mount Sinai and Moses. The man of God. The man of God. No, we are the church of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are the church of God. We are the house of God. See, I'm the house of God. We're going to sing that song again. What we sang earlier. Praise the Lord. You know the way she sang? You can sing like that now. Praise the Lord. You don't close your eyes. Ah, sir. Say, sing a psalm. What, sir? Psalm or somewhere? No, no, you can't. Praise God. Say, I sing psalms. By the Holy Ghost. Praise God. You can. Because you're born of God. What's the essence of the music team or the choir? They lead us to praise God together. So when whatever we see them do, we do. Who is the person who leads us to pray? He prays so that we can all pray. So if one of the people on the music team sings by the Spirit, it's not for you to say, hey, see the Holy Ghost. Ah, no. It's for you to lift your hands at the same time. And sing in tongues. Praise God. And sing out the interpretation. Can I have an amen in the house here? Come on. What's this? So, he says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 4. In verse 32. 31 actually. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they had assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So I said, filled with the Holy Ghost. Everybody was filled with the Holy Ghost. Acts 13 and verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me Barnabas and Saul for the work where thou hast called them." And when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4. And so they being sent forth by who? So what they did was called the Holy Ghost did it. So when you say the Holy Ghost said, it's not like they just heard somebody speak through the speaker. "Separate me Barnabas and Saul." The Holy Ghost said refers to utterances by the men who were there. Said the Holy Ghost speaks through me. Hallelujah. So watch that. Because in his temple, everyone speaks his glory. So in his temple we pray together, in his temple we sing together, and in his temple we speak together. Look at that Acts 2. What did they say? Said they all spoke with tongues. Acts 2:4. They all. So said they all. Look at Mark 16:17. "This sign shall follow them that believe in my name." Anybody who believes in his name here? You believe in his name? Anybody like that? If you believe in his name, let me see your hand. Now, come on, everybody, let me see your hand. Come on. If someone's not raising his hand, preach the gospel to the person. Raise your hand, come on. Alright, raise your hand. Say, "I believe in his name. These signs follow me in his name. I speak with tongues. I speak with tongues because I believe in his name." Let's speak with tongues, come on. It looks like foolishness in your mind. It looks unintelligent. Amen. Pause a little bit. Let's see something. Let me have somebody who is Igbo. Not the Lagos brand. Real Igbo. You can speak a language well. Here you come. Let me look for a Yoruba person. Come. Are you sure you are not? Huh? You know some Igbo? You know. Say something to him in your language. Very conk one. Huh? Let him hear. Don't let the church hear. Huh? No, be talking. Keep talking. Say a story. Okay. He's on Leonard. Now, you probably think she's saying nonsense. Why is it nonsense? Because you don't understand it. Praise the Lord. But is she saying nonsense? No. But relative to your mind, she's saying nonsense. Because you can go and say, "What nonsense is she saying?" But she's not saying nonsense. It's only nonsense because you don't understand what she's saying. Praise the Lord. So let this be your mind and this your spirit. Your mind needs to go to school to learn. Right? Your mind works with vowels and consonants. This is your spirit. It works with God. Hallelujah. And there's nothing your spirit says that God doesn't receive. But your mind is not God. Praise the Lord. So the fact that it is foolish in your mind doesn't mean it is foolish in your spirit. Let me see if you understand what I'm saying. How do you see? So your mind will go, "What in the world is this?" That's why Paul will say, your mind is unfruitful. What in the world is that? But he says, "He that speaks in tongues speaks not to men." Hallelujah. But unto God. I remember one Calvinist was arguing with me. He said, "I don't believe in all this speaking in tongues nonsense." I've heard this kind of argument. I said, "Why?" He said, "Oh, God. I mean, how can somebody just be saying this?" I said, "But he's praying." He said, "Yes." He's praising God. He said, "Yes." "To who?" He said, "God." I said, "But you people preach that God knows all things.
He sees all things.
He said, yes, he does. So, is God also confused?
He said, oh, no, Jehovah cannot be confused.
I said, so mind your business. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody want to praise God in tongues now? Anybody like that? Come on, lift your hands, just praise God in tongues. You got business with God here. Come on. You got business with God. Oh, neighbor. Praise God. Ha ha. Name the animal also the case. You got business with God. Come on. May them all gain. King of Kisko Kaske. Ma. Oh, no. Amen. Amen. Your mind is wondering, what are you saying? You say, hey, shut up. Praise God. He shut up. Because God hears what I'm saying. I'm not praying to my mind. Pray to God. Praising God. Hallelujah. Let's do it one more time. Just praise God. All about it. Put some music in it. Put some music in it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Glory to God. Day of Pentecost, everyone praise God that way. What else? What else? As they spoke in tongues, they also prophesied. What's prophesying? Prophesying now involves interpreting what you said in tongues. Interpreting what you said in tongues in your known language. In your known language. That's what it is. 1 Corinthians 14:3. He that prophesies speaks to the church. Remember what the music leader did? She sang in tongues, but because she was going to now minister to us, not just to the Lord, she now had to what? Interpret it. So, interpretation of tongues in praise and prayer is for the church meetings. So she said that. So you can say, speaking in tongues therefore will be a doorway to supernatural utterances. That is the way I start. That is the way I start. That's the way I commence. Supernatural utterances are ushered in by tongues. Show me supernatural utterances. Are ushered in by tongues. Let's do some of that. Come on. Now, you're going to praise God now in tongues. And you're going to sing it in your known language in the same breath. You ready for that? Ready for that? Let's go ahead and do that. Come on. Now sing it in your language, come on. In your known language. Go ahead and sing it. Good in your message, dear sir. Exalted for them. Exalted for them. Come on, sing it in your own language. Amen. Now, possibly, who observed that as you switch your own language, it's like those words were given to you? Who observed that? You know, the words given to you, not premeditated words. They're given to you. And sometimes when you stay long, you see, when it comes to the things of the Spirit, if you stay long enough, much more will be seen in what you're doing. Like we say in the world, where you practice, it makes perfection of what you're doing. But some of us, we haven't done enough to even have a perfection of anything. Sometimes all the tongues you speak is in the service. A few minutes. But you know you can do more than that. Sometimes I go a whole day talking in tongues. One time like that, I shut myself in the room and spoke in tongues for 26 hours. One time after that, I said, I'm going to just speak in tongues for 24 hours. I do it often, just all day. And I said, I'm not going to talk to anybody, just talking in tongues alone. You know, you do that, you are training yourself to flow with the Spirit without stress. So it's not difficult, therefore, for you to flow with the Holy Ghost. You need to train yourself in utterances. You need to. Not utterances. Oh Lord. Many times when people go to prayer mountains to see a prophet, they are being deluded. If you can shut yourself in and just talk in tongues, the answer will come. The answer will come. Shut yourself in. The answer will come. Brother Higgins was saying something this morning. That sometimes we just need to tell ourselves, you know what? Let's find out what God is saying. And one way we can do that, we'll just pray in tongues for long. Long enough for our minds to catch it. You know, you can say, let's find out what God is saying. God never built a church that would need to go to a prophet to know what God is saying about individual lives. We're sons of God. We have been led by the Spirit of God. We have the Spirit of adoption. We are the house of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. This is His temple. And we say glory. Hallelujah. So, tongues, then the interpretation is what is called prophecy. Look at 1 Corinthians 14, quickly. Look at Paul. Paul says in verse 15, how is it then, brethren, I will pray with the Spirit. Let's tap on 14. If I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. How is it then, I will pray with the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit. Can you do that? Do that, come on. Hold on. And I'll sing with the understanding also. Do that now. This is in the church meetings. Okay? Now, look at the next statement he makes here. He says, else, when you bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupies the room of the unlearned say what? Amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understands not what you say. Now, the word amen means yes or fulfilled. Which means the response to giving of thanks is not clapping. The response to giving of thanks in the word is to acknowledge God's word. It's not to be entertained. It's to acknowledge God's word by saying amen at the giving of thanks. We say yes to the word when a song comes out by the Spirit. We say yes to the word. So, as believers, therefore, I'll close here. Let's endeavor to make a practice of utterances. Let me ask you, how many of you are in this service with a friend or friends that you see every day or every other day or you see regularly in the week? Raise your hand. I'm not calling you out. Raise your hand. Family? Friends? Raise your hand. See every week? Good. I want to ask you a question. When last did you come together to
relate as the church. That is, you know you are believers. Sometimes, we only relate as a church when we come into a building. As soon as we get to the car park, we go back to Egypt. When last did you say, hey, you know what? Let's just spend this evening to just pray in tongues together. And let's just minister to the Lord. That's God's plan for His church. If your family, your friends, you've never said, you know what, let's just minister to one another. Because you see, God wants us to walk in His purpose and plan. He wants us to walk in His will. And we will walk in His will. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 18:15, He said, if your brother should trespass against you, He said, you should go to him. Tell him what he has done. If he hears you, you have gained yourself a brother. Then in 16, He said, if he hasn't heard you, go with another brother, two or three. For out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. A principle given by Moses in Deuteronomy 17 verse 6. The interesting thing is, when Paul spoke about utterances, he also said in verse 27, if any should speak with tongues, let it be by two, at most by three. Then he said, let a prophet speak by two or three. Which means, listen to what I'm about to say. We can actually confirm God's will in our lives and in other people by us just coming together as two or three and just confirming God's will. We give tongues, traditional tongues, we prophesy. And most of the time, we'll find direction, we'll find healing, hope, and help. Oftentimes, the reason why we worry together is because we have not prayed together. Oftentimes, the reason why we fear together is because we have not ministered one to another. Oftentimes, the reason why we have to now fall ill and fall sick is because we haven't ministered one to another. But you know what? We can minister one to another and establish the truth of God's word this morning, out of the mouth of two or three. Are we two here? Are we three? Praise the Lord. And so out of the mouth of the two or three, we can give tongues interpretation. We can prophesy and establish God's will and God's purpose and plan. Look at your friendships again. You know, build a tower of refuge and fortress, such that you should have friends that even if you are confused about things, when you come around them and you all minister to the Lord, the answer will come. Those are the kind of friends you should keep. Not friends when you come around them, you just become worried, angry, afraid. No. We can come together and fulfill the prophecy of David in his temple. Let everyone say glory. When do we give his utterances? Before prayer. Utterances can lead us to pray. Utterances can be given as we pray. And utterances can come after we have prayed. Hallelujah. So we are God's temple. And we yield to God's Spirit. This morning, I am the house of God. Hallelujah. Say effortlessly and with ease, I flow and function with the Holy Ghost. Let's sing that song, This is Who We Are. This is Who We Are. This is Who We Are. We are men of the world.